Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour. Here it is, Jenna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is just some dude who has a couple of cats, and we've got ourselves a brand new show for you today. But I'm just, hey, I know it's no longer just one dude with a couple of cats, because there's now a lady with a few cats as well. But that's a different story.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
I'm looking for an update on the mother.
Yes, exactly.
Asking about Elvis.
And I also love the fact that you have a cat named Elvis, Jenna, who is a female.
Yes, that is true.
That is true. So anyway, today we are going to talk to, and I guess, Jenna, you said he's kind of an anti-self-help, but self-help kind of fella.
He is a hilarious self-help kind of fella. So later today, this morning, we're going to be talking to Ron Mulledy. He is the author of a book called, and wait for it, you know how I love titles of books are why I reach out to a lot of our guests. Yes. His book is entitled Miserable You, A Handy Guide to Unhappiness You're Already Following.
Okay. All right.
So, he says, don't like self-help and motivational books? Then this one is for you. Like, we have to talk to this guy because Carol and I are all about the self-help and the motivational book. So I can't wait to discuss with him what motivated him to write this book, what it's about. I have a feeling, you guys, it really is a self-help motivational book, okay? He's just trying to say that it ain't, but it is.
Well, that is a good way to present it, though, because like you said, Jenna, you love the titles. That is your favorite part of a lot of this. And he certainly grabs an eye with such.
Yes. So I'm looking, and we already know because the three of us have communicated with him prior to today. And I think he's a pretty funny dude. So I'm looking forward to that. But speaking of being miserable.
Yes. Speaking of what we were not speaking of, Jenna is going to segue into whatever it is.
No, this is like a reverse sagu.
No, it was
backdoor sagu.
It was a pre-sagu. A pre-sagu.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to have a post-sagu. I'm sure we'll have a post-sagu. This is a pre-sagu. I've been dying to tell you guys about this because as soon as it happened, I said to myself, self, Carol and Frankenberry are going to love this.
Oh, right. You did something stupid.
Swartub.
That's my favorite.
Well, let's put it this way.
Okay. Forte. That is my, Jenna. Yes, that is my forte.
I have graduated from wardrobe malfunctions to bodily malfunctions. Hey, don't even go there. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm not going there. But at the same time, the first thing I can think of is we know what you are like when it comes to bodily functions.
Right. She's even bringing it up.
Yeah. And you're bringing it up on your own.
Well, this is a bodily malfunction, but it's not really bodily. So let me just explain to you what happened.
Okay, Ricky.
Please do.
Lucy.
Apostrophe S-P-L-A-I-N. Thank you. Please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully I will capture the hilarity and sheer terror that was going through my brain as it was happening in real time. But so in order to do this and give it justice, I have to back up a little bit and remind perhaps not you two, but our four or five listeners that, because I haven't talked about it in a while, because cats consume my life. But remember a few months, more than a few months, maybe about 6 months back, had a little hair incident.
Oh, I've been meaning to ask you about that.
Thank you. About 6 months. So I'm going to say it was like June-ish of last year. I was struggling with my hair and I got a little crazy and my hairdresser gave me a cut that just wasn't working on my head. Like, it would have worked on say Joan Jett's head when she had the same cut, or Pat Benatar for a while had the same cut. It even worked on Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart had the same cut, which I was referring to as a shag and a mullet, had a baby, and I was calling it a shullet. Remember?
I remember that well. And nice to be done on your
part. Carol Brady days.
Yes, in my Carol Brady days. And so I've been growing out that cut now for over 6 months, because we're now in January. And part of the journey, the hair journey, I'm putting in air quotes, was to speed up the process, is I ended up getting hair extensions. Mm-hmm. Now, I have had over the years, because hair extensions are nothing new. A million people have them. A lot of people on TV have them. I have had every type of hair extension under the sun over the last 2 decades, including the kind that you simply taped onto your scalp. They didn't work. I had the kind that you take individual hairs and you clip them with this special wrench tool onto your own individual hairs. It took nine hours.
That's got to be comfortable.
Oh, God. So uncomfortable. It would take 9 hours. It cost over $1,000. And then every once in a while, I'd be on TV and one of those babies would just start falling out and I'd have to wait until the camera went off me and pull it out of my hair because it would just be hanging down around.
I remember you've told us about that in the past, actually.
Yep. So that used to happen. I had the kind that were braided into your hair such that if somebody were, say, romantically going to kiss you and put their hand on the back of your head, they would feel this gigantic braid of someone else's hair on the back of your head, which also happened. So just long story short, I gave up on the hair extensions for a long period of time and only went back after I had to cure this shullet situation. Nowadays, though, I will say they have a brand of hair extension, or a kind of hair extension, that kind of solves all the previous problems. And they're actually sewn into your hair, and they're comfortable, and they look really natural. But what they are, for people who don't know, and Frankenberry, I'm sure this will fascinate you.
You still awake, Frankenberry? Okay, you're awake.
No, I'm good. I mean, I do have a small pillow just in case, but keep going.
Good. So these new kind of extensions, which are very popular and comfortable and far less expensive, they are someone else's actual hair that is sewn onto sort of a band or a strip, and that is called a weft. And these wefts are then sewn onto your head with a piece of thread, and they're connected to your actual hair. So they're very comfortable. They don't take that long to put in. They stay pretty tight. And the only thing you have to worry about is every 6 to 8 weeks, you got to go back to the hair salon because they'll grow out with your own hair, and you've got to get them taken out and then smushed back up to your scalp.
Shimmy back up.
And that's really all there is to it. So every 2 months, you get them shimmied back up, and it's fine. And so it's been a pretty good solution to help me through this hair, air quote, journey. Okay. So earlier in the week, I had a couple of TV appearances, but I also needed to get into to get my extension shimmied up quickly at a new salon. Why did I have to go to a new salon? Because the fabulous girl at the salon where I had these originally installed. That's what they call it. She up and quit without any notice whatsoever. Yeah. Which, you know, as a business owner, I've had things happen with personnel. Sometimes it happens and you got to roll with the punches, but my salon only had one girl doing the shimmies and the installations and she was gone. So I got referred to another girl who was absolutely fabulous, a beautiful young woman, knows her stuff. And I get this appointment and I say to her, Linda, I have a hard out. Okay. I know I'm your new client. We don't know each other, but in order for this to work, I've got to be out by X because I've got TV at Y and no ifs, ands, or buts. I cannot be in this chair a moment longer. Is that going to work? And she assures me, yes. Not a problem. I will get you in. I will get you out. This is going to be fabulous. Not to worry. Okay, I say, so let's do this. So I'm in the chair.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm in the chair and we're making small talk, and she takes out, I have two rows of wefts. She takes out the one row, no problem. And I see her taking out the second row, and all of a sudden she gets sort of a real interesting look on her face. Uh-oh. And she's trying not to look like panicked or anything. But I noticed that our conversation has changed, because now she's very quiet and she's focused on the back of my head intently. And so I'm just, you know, doing what I'm doing. I'm ignoring it. I'm ignoring all the warning signs that something terrible is happening. I've got my head in the sand, and I'm like, nope, this is all going to work out. It's all going to be good. When she says to me, all right, listen, I am going to have to cut a chunk of your hair. I'm gonna have to cut a chunk of your hair off the back of your head here on account of there's a little knot situation happening between your hair and this here fake, well, this here extension hair, and I'm not gonna get it out any other way, but I promise you, you won't notice. So now I look at my watch, I look at her face, I look at my face, I look up to the heavens, and in my head I'm like, God.
And she thinks of you and me, Frankenberry.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? And I say, well, I can't walk out of here with a weft flapping in the breeze off the back of my head.
A weft.
You go right ahead and you chop that baby out. So we're still on time. She cuts the weft out of my hair. And let me just also say that when I say weft, I mean, these are two wefts that are sewn together, because in order to wrap around one's head, unless you have a very narrow head, you take one weft and it goes from your right ear to the back of your head center, and the other weft goes from your left ear to the back of the head center, and they kind of meet in the middle and they get sewn together. So she gets out these two wefts, and now she's desperately trying to get these two wefts apart, because they have to get apart, they get untangled, and then they get sewn back in. 5 minutes goes by. Oh. 10 minutes goes by.
Oh, I'm actually nervous for you.
She takes this clump of not my hair, somebody else's hair, these weft hair. She takes them in the back. She's like, I'll be right back. I need a little conditioner. She leaves. 15 minutes goes by. She comes back and she is holding this clump of two wefts that have so infused together in one gigantic dreadlock that she cannot get these wefts apart. That's right, folks. I was walking around for 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks with a mat of hair on the back of my head so big that you would have thought I was a sheepdog who was not well groomed. And I had no freaking idea.
So where's all your spinach in your front tooth, friends?
I know. See, nobody tells me nothing. So I must have looked like, I must have looked like I had the worst bedhead that I had. Like, seriously, because I never look at the back of my head. I barely touch the back of my head. But a lot of people must see the back of my head.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, they do.
But nobody said a word. Nobody. So now she's holding this hair. I know that I'm missing a clump of my own natural hair. I've got a deadline because I'm going on national television. And I'm like, well, okay, now what are we going to do? Because I need that area filled in, Toots, and I need it filled in pretty darn quick. Well, luckily, she had some extra hair that just so happened to match my color perfect.
I'm sorry. That is the funniest thing I have heard in like weeks. Luckily, she had some extra hair on hand.
She did.
I mean, like, from what? I mean, did she shave a dog? Did somebody just leave some? Is that the stuff she swept up and sitting in a dustpan? No. She goes, you know, I have some extra hair here, by the way. I haven't thrown it out yet.
I didn't ask. I didn't care. Just fill in the back of my head with whatever hair you got on hand.
Maybe you might even have something in a spray can. Do you have something like that?
Ron Papil.
Yes.
She just so happened to have a couple of extra wefts hanging around, literally.
Because that's what wefts do.
Which was my good luck. Yep. And she's like, all right, I got this. It's going to be an extra $150. I said, I don't care if it's an extra $150,000. Time's a ticking. And I can't walk around with a bald back of my head.
Well, you kind of can on television as long as you don't turn all the way around.
Yeah.
No. I would never be able to plead. So she fixed it. And she fixed it beautifully. And she got me out on time.
Wow.
And yes. It was like a miracle. And at least I said to myself, I'm going to have some material for the radio show. And I will have you know that I have now been combing the back of my hair like a maniac. Like a dog. Like, you know when dogs scratch themselves with one leg? I've been doing that on a daily basis to ensure that I do not grow another dreadlock on the back of my head from this hair journey, a continuation.
And so there you have. I just have one question, and this is just one right now. I'm not going to talk about the fact that, you know, putting hair on your head that you just happened to find lying around the store is also called, you know, installation. But I do have one question of your quite younger, better half. He didn't notice this. I mean, I'm not trying to throw the dude under the bus, but he never like put his fingers through the back of your head and then almost lost a finger or two in there, you know, got him stuck or nothing.
Afraid of her.
Well, there is that.
He might have noticed.
That's true.
And just never said anything. Or this is a little sidebar. He may have noticed. He may have actually somehow surreptitiously taken a picture and squirreled that away for another time.
And if he does, then good for you, my friend, because I would do the same thing. I'd be holding that thing forever, because the next time I can't win an argument, that baby's coming out.
Frankie Bear, you sent us pictures of your own pictures of the back of your head when you screw up shaving.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Hey, I got no issue sending you pictures like that, okay? Because sometimes if I do it really poorly, or in this case, really well, it looks like a cityscape. You know what I'm saying? You know? It looks like, hey, it's like Frankenberry. Is that Manhattan? Yeah.
You look like a rapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least, you took a second to look at the back of your head, unlike our friend.
Unlike me.
Good point. Yes, I make sure that I have somebody take a picture of the back of my head after I've done it on the weekend on a Monday morning and say, listen, take a picture of the back of my head so I can see how bad I screwed this up. And that's when they say to me, oh, this time it looks like Seattle.
The Space Needle.
That's right.
Doesn't look like the Elephant Man. Like the back of my head must have looked like it was 6 inches wider than it actually was. Nobody said anything. Nobody.
We're kind of shaped because you used to have an issue of like a mushroom head,
right? And this
before this,
this would this so would this that? Would be a new movie, the Hunchback of Jonna's Head.
Called Hunch. Or Young Frankenstein.
Was comfortable.
Oh, well, that must have been a miserable experience, I got to tell you.
But a bump, and there it is.
I swear, that's one of those segues you know that Carol's waiting on. You know that came to her like 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
She's just been waiting for the opening, that's all.
Yeah.
She was sitting on it going, come on. That's what she was doing, but appropriately so, because as mentioned, when we return from this much needed break, we are going to be speaking with,
I'll say,
we're going to be speaking with Ron Mulledy. I already know he's a funny guy, and he's written he's written a quote anti-self-help book aptly entitled Miserable You, a handy guide to unhappiness you're already following. And when we come back, I can't wait to talk to him about what inspires.
It's going
to
be fun.
He's going to be a fun guy. It's going to be a fun talk. And if you're not, and Frankie Berry, this is right up your alley because you're not a self-help kind of guy.
No, not really. No. Okay, so a guy that is telling you that he's not really self-help but is self-help, is it going to be up my alley, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just getting in the proper mind frame, that's all.
There you go. Well, so when we come back, Ron Mulledy, author of Miserable You.
Okay, and that's such a fun intro. Hey, when we come back, you're all miserable. Ron Mulledy's going to talk to you about it. All right.
Stick around.
Yes, please stick around. With Jonas Spillborn and Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour again here. It's Jonas Spillborn. It is Carol Pesci, myself. And it is time now to get to our guest for this week. And we're going to be talking to somebody who is trying to self-help you and not self-help you, but self-help you somehow.
Make you miserable. If you want to be miserable,
that's right. That's right. That's right. Something about miserable. So I already like this guy.
Well, me too. That's what I was going to say. You guys know that sometimes, you know, just like sometimes we pick our wine because we like the label. Sometimes we pick our guests because we absolutely love the title of their books. And this is one title that really resonated with me. So before I tell you what the title is, let me tell you who we are speaking with. Okay, so who is this Ron Mulledy guy? Let me tell you, Ron is a national award-winning writer and an international life coach and business trainer, formerly with somebody who you may have heard of, Tony Robbins. Ron helps people around the world get what they want from life. He has led thousands of coaching sessions with people all over the world, from Switzerland to the U.S. to Bermuda, from ages 18 to 80, from truck drivers to CEOs to TV celebrities. And now, guess what? He's really hit a home run because he's on Happy Hour with John and Carol.
Damn straight.
That's right. His new book, aptly entitled, and what really warms my heart, Miserable You, A Handy Guide to Unhappiness You're Already Following. Ron Mulledy, welcome to Happy Hour.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Jonna, Carol, Conchocula. So great to meet you.
Conchocula.
We are so happy to have you. And I wasn't kidding when I said, you know, sometimes we stalk our guests, and you know, something about the title of this book really resonated, and I was curious to get into it. And when I did, I was like, wow, you have really found a way to hit everybody's funny bone and give a healthy dose of self-help by acting like you're not giving a healthy dose of self-help. And I think a lot of people will appreciate that. And it's obvious with the title of your book. So let's talk about this, Ron. What inspired you to write a self-help book disguised as a not self-help book?
Yeah. So I'll admit it. I have actually tried to help many people be happier, right? Like as a life and business coach, yeah, as you mentioned, formerly with Tony Robbins. Yeah, it was my role to like help people become even happier, reach their goals in life, right? And I did help a lot of people get happier, but there were some people that were really stuck in their miserable ways, right? I like to refer to them as the ambitiously joyless, the perpetually annoyed, the frequently upset, the hosts of the Happy Hour. Yeah. So the book is all about like, if you're truly committed to suffering, and from the look on your faces, you are, then read the book, discover what steps you can take to become even more miserable. But guess what? That's not really what the book's about. So if you insist, you can read between the lines, get the joke, realize it's reverse psychology, and instead use the book to discover what self-inflicted wounds you're causing on yourself, learn how to stop doing that, and finally be happy. But that would be kind of a wussy move in life.
Yes. And you like that word too in your book. And that was the beauty of it, because immediately I was like, oh, okay, he's using reverse psychology, as you said, but your wit and the way you do it is so funny that you, like, yes. I was laughing at myself because you're describing me and probably millions of other people to a T, and you're getting us to go, oh my God, I do that all the time. Nice. And it's just, it's a great kind of splash of cold water in your face. And speaking of Tony Robbins, I know that, you know, because I follow him too. He has basically said, if you're trying to change a belief or a pattern or a habit, you've got to change your state. And in a very humorous way, I think your book does exactly that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. That was the goal, right? To have equal parts humor and equal parts inspirational ideas, concepts, tools, so that people can have a breakthrough. So I'm glad that you took that from the book.
And Ron, this is Carol. I just want to add that I love that you took the humorous approach. Mm-hmm. We have been doing this show almost 12 years, and the original intent was to bring helpful content to people and have fun doing it, not be straight-laced and boring, be silly, not take ourselves too seriously, laugh where we can. So you are absolutely the perfect guest, because at the heart of it, you do want to help people live better, and you found a very creative way to be cynical, but it's really being reverse psychology, but you're still helping people. I think helping people and making them laugh is beautiful. I love it.
That's so great. Yeah, it's super sarcastic. Like, one thing I just,
yes,
it is not like, you know, your dad's, you know, dad jokes. Like, it's sarcastic and it's irreverent to self-help books. Like, one of my goals was to have the book appeal both the people who love self-help books, right? Like, those people, they'll see this as a parody and they'll say, oh my gosh, I see the patterns just like other books I've read, and they'll get the joke. I also wanted it to appeal to people who hate self-help books, like the people who despise it, because it's irreverent. It is a completely irreverent book to self-help. It's not your dad's self-help book, right? Like, it's a whole different approach.
Well, funny you should say that, because Frankenberry, who's never read a single self-help book in his life, and probably right now, Ron, we don't know this for sure, but he might be taking a nap under his desk. Don't take it personally. He's just not into self-help at all. But this is the kind of self-help that I think Frankenberry would appreciate. So in that vein, like, for example.
And I want you to know, by the way, that I am not taking a nap under my desk or under my mixing board, though I do have to tell you that some of my fantasy basketball teams do need some help.
See? Well played.
Let me give you a sample of some of the chapters in this wonderfully written book.
The titles are awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Like, okay, so we'll take it from the top. The first chapter: start many things, finish nothing. Chapter 7, your demand, so go it alone. Chapter 10, focus on trivial crap. But he doesn't use the word crap. He uses the actual word. Chapter 15, ignore your needs. Like, this is kind of stuff. So was there a, like, tell us, like, how did you actually write this book? Because you have a background in coaching and helping people. And I'm dying to know how you got to meet Bob Proctor. Who's also, I mean, next to Tony Robbins, right, in terms of his familiarity in this field. So, like, how did this, were you sitting around one day and said, this is what I got to do to help people? Or what prompted you to take this approach?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been, like you mentioned, I've been involved in self-help. And, you know, most of my life, I've read a bunch of books, read my first self-help book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, when I was 12 years old. If you knew my family, you'd understand why. Yeah, like, and I was looking for answers, right? And then read Wayne Dyer, Norman Vincent Peale, others. Eventually, later, trained to become a life and business coach with Tony Robbins. And as you mentioned, I was lucky enough to be a consultant to Bob Proctor, who's famously involved with the book and movie The Secret, right? So, you know, I've been around this kind of self-help transformational programs for most of my life. It wasn't actually my focus as a career, but now it is. And when I decided to write a book, like, I've been thinking about writing a book for years. And this, you know, about a year ago, I said, gosh, I really want to do it now. Like, this is the time. And so I asked myself, how can I turn this genre upside down, right? There's thousands of self-help books out there.
Right.
How do I cut through the clutter? Or more importantly, how do I contribute something new and unique? So I asked myself that question. And what popped in my mind was to instead coach people how to be more miserable, not how to be more happy, how to be more miserable, the opposite of the self-help books that we all know. And it would have this stealthy goal of helping people realize that they already do things to make themselves miserable, and they can notice this and stop doing those things to become happier. So yeah, it was basically just asking the question, how do I create something new, unique, flip this genre on its head?
And it works. It's successful because it does really make you kind of, it makes people laugh at themselves, I think, because if you're interested in self-help and excuse me, you're reading about this, obviously there are some places in your life that you want to improve, and you really nail a lot of the common things that we do to sort of sabotage ourselves on a daily basis, which is
are great. You, Ron, I have a question. Are you sarcastic by nature?
You know, I really am. So what's interesting is that I set out to create the voice of the book, the first person narrator, like a character, right? Because I hope it's somewhat obvious to people who know me, like, you know, me, Ron Mileti, like this is a character. It's not really me. Like this is somebody who's hell-bent on helping people become even more miserable, like a twisted mission in life, right? And, you know, I got inspiration from a lot of places. It's like a combination of, you know, Robin Williams and Tony Robbins and the Addams Family and game show hosts, right? Like it's just this breathless, frenetic voice, like this dark humor. The book, I said, damn, this is kind of is me, you know, because I really am very sarcastic, but it's always with a mission in mind, right? Like to help people realize things and have breakthroughs, right? So yeah, like when I coach people, right? I coached with Tony Robbins, and now I'm doing it on my own. And when I coach people, there's a lot of humor in it, right? And there's even a little sarcasm to get them to realize like what they're doing to themselves and how they can get out of the way so they can become happier and reach their goals. So yeah, I tend to be pretty sarcastic in real life, and it shows up in the book, but yeah, the book's an exaggeration for sure.
Yeah, it's wonderful and I love it. Can you tell us a little more? Because we, I think, well, Carol and I are both quite familiar with Tony Robbins. I think we're fans of Tony Robbins. How does that work? Like when you're a trainer or a coach with him, like how do you, when people sign up and they get you as a coach, is it done like geographically? I'm just curious kind of how that works.
Well, with Tony Robbins and his organization, it's done through some practical things like time zone and things like that. But most importantly, it's done with DISC assessments, right? So it's like a personality assessment, and coaches are matched with people that have similar DISC assessments so that you can have a lot of rapport from day to day.
Okay, so that makes sense. And that's actually good. I don't suppose you have, I mean, he must have a lot of coaches. Did you ever have a chance to meet him personally?
Yeah. So as a coach within Robbins Research International, we got to work with Tony directly, attend his events, both in person and virtually. So great experience, great training. And what I decided over this past year is that love the training, love the experience. And I had a unique voice that I wanted to bring to the world, which is why I'm now focusing on the book, promoting the book, getting this into people's hands, but also coaching on my own because I have a different approach, right? Like, as we mentioned, like a little bit of humor, a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit, I would describe it as sort of a more street smart kind of approach to coaching. It's like, it's really meant to be real, like the real thoughts, the real stuff that's going on in our heads today.
Right. You had that experience. It's quote unquote on your resume. You learned a ton. Mm-hmm. And now you take that and bring you and yourself and what's unique about you and your voice to the world using what you learned to help people. It's perfect. It worked out perfectly. What I want to say, one of the things that I love about your approach, Ron, when, and I've talked about this before, when someone is feeling down or grumpy or cynical, and then someone comes along and they're all like bubbly and sunshine and unicorns, and I know, guilty me usually, it's like this major energetic mismatch. That person that's down is not on the low point of scale, is not at all going to be receptive or resonate with the person who's up. And vice versa. So you kind of sneak in the back door for that grumpy person and kind of say, I'm there with you, dude. I'm grumpy too. Yeah, let's be cynical. But then you get them thinking. It's actually brilliant. You're meeting them where they are, but yeah, to bring them to a better place.
Oh, that's so great that you notice that, right? Like, so the idea is to create rapport with people that are in that negative space by being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Pointing out the kind of miserable things they might be thinking or doing in their life, not fighting it, not pretending it's not there, like embracing it, and then gently guiding them to the conclusion that, like, they got a choice in the matter, right? Like, they can shift their thinking, they can change their story about themselves and their life and have a breakthrough, right? Like, we all have that ability. But first, you got to get to the point where they even are noticing that they're doing so much of this to themselves. It's not the context or the circumstance of life. It's often what we're thinking in our noggin, right? Like, that's what's really causing our suffering. And we have so much room for that. But so few people really realize that.
And probably one of the more obvious things that you don't think about when you think of the self-help genre is I think I chuckled within the first few pages of the book. I know I did. And people don't realize, just, I don't care what you're going through, and I'm not even that miserable, Ron. There's something, but when you find a reason to laugh, you know, or smile or chuckle, whatever kind of negative state you're in for that moment lifts, right? So if you have a book that makes you laugh throughout, that in and of itself is self-help, you know, regardless of the lessons in the book. And so you have that double whammy, and I just love it.
That's so great. Yeah, I actually did some training in your neck of the woods. I did some stand-up and comedy writing training with Laughing Buddha in NYC. So I really wanted equal parts humor and equal parts self-help. And so I'm glad it came across that way. It's a risky book, right? Like, I shimmied out onto the skinny branches here, and I really did wonder how are people going to, like, take this, right? And at first it was a little scary. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty thrilled, you know, on Amazon, 4.9 out of 5 reviews. And so
I guess awesome.
People are getting it.
Yeah. And your book just dropped, like, not that, didn't it drop over last November, just a few months ago?
Exactly. It's only been out for a couple months.
Oh, Ron, I wanted to let you know, by the way, that Jonna loves saying books and stuff just dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is like hip. She feels almost like she's in the music industry when she says that.
Yeah, super.
Frankie
cool.
Berry, I'm practically a millennial. I'm just a slightly older millennial.
You date one.
That's right. I am a millennial by proximity to my boyfriend.
Hey, however you got to get there. I'm hanging on to my youth.
Well, you look great, Jonna. You look great. You got a face.
She sure does. She's gorgeous.
I do have a face for radio. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Okay, well, we could keep her on here forever, but we can't. So we have to wrap up now. We've been speaking with Ron Milletti, author of, and again, I cannot tell you how much I love the title of this book, Miserable You, A Handy Guide to Unhappiness You're Already Following. And Ron, you have done something very, very, very generous. You have made an offer to our listeners to get a free live one-on-one coaching sesh. And yes, Frankie Berry, that's how millennials say session. Okay, sesh.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I will. Hold on. I'm getting a pen.
And which is really, really generous. And all you got to do, listeners.
That's generous.
Yes, is get the book, and then you got to send your receipt for the book to Ron. Now, I love Ron's email address too, because it's office@suckerpunchlife.com. Ron, were you drunk when you made that offer, or did you really mean it?
I really meant it. Yeah. So the happy hour listeners, you know, they've endured a lot with you three. And so
exactly.
This is true.
So yeah, if you buy the book, you get a free live one-on-one coaching session with me. Just go to miserableyou.com. Just go to the website, miserableyou.com, click buy the book on Amazon, and then click and email me a receipt so I know you bought the book. mention you're a happy hour listener, you want a free coaching session, I'll reach out, we'll get something scheduled. So let's
fantastic.
Yeah, you're in for it.
I know. I got to sleep sometime. So,
but we really appreciate that. And the only thing I'm going to ask, two things I'm going to ask. We do want to have you back in the future, number one. And number two, when we do, I would like Miserable You to also have an audio version. I'm just putting it out there.
You know, it's in the works. I love the way you guys think.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Ron Mulledy, thank you for joining us today. Everybody, I seriously urge you to get the book Miserable You, A Handy Guide to Unhappiness. You're already following. It is hilarious. It is a fantastic take on self-help. And it's coming from a guy who has worked with the best of the best, because you're the best, Ron. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
Go be miserable.
Okay. Right. No problem.
We're on it.
Indeed. Yes. Thank you very much, Ron. And like John has said, yes, we do have to let you go. We can't keep you forever. Though I just hope the handcuffs and the shackles didn't bruise. So we'll let you out of the basement now, Ron. Just be careful. It's a little bright outside. And we still got segment number three coming up with Happy Hour with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. So please stick around. We're not done yet.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour. It's Jenna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Thank you for the greetings, as always. And it was very nice talking to Ron Mulledy today and his kind of anti-self-help book.
I just love
self-sabotage expert.
Yeah, he is too funny. The chapters of the book are so funny. And listen, do you guys realize what he's done? He's giving our listeners a free one-on-one coaching session. Like, he's not saying, here's a free book. He's like, buy my book, which doesn't cost that much, and you get a value so much greater than that. Like that.
And he was trained by Tony Robbins. Yeah. This guy's no joke. So definitely cool. Take advantage of that.
So I'll make sure that's all in my social media post too, so nobody can miss this opportunity. I mean, why not? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do a different name. I'll be like, I'm
Curly Pesky.
That's yeah, right. I'm Curly Pesky. Anyway, but speaking of miserable, hold on one second. I have a frog in my throat that won't go away. Okay.
Oh, you tried to find yourself a prince, didn't you? And you accidentally swallowed the thing.
I ate the thing.
Yeah. She's laughing too hard. That's what happens.
So it's funny because, you know, the name of his book is Miserable You. And I forgot to tell you guys earlier that I actually ran into a person who could really use this book. But it made for some funny material. So I just got to quickly tell you, before we go, I got to quickly tell you a quick story. Earlier in the week, I was in New York City. I was doing something for one of the news networks. And I was walking to the studio from Grand Central when I hear somebody behind me saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Now, normally when I'm in New York City, and I love New York City, but when I'm there and somebody's saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, I completely ignore them and keep going about my business. But for whatever reason, I don't, maybe because she was persistent, I don't know. I actually was a few steps ahead of her and I turned around and I see this woman who looks like she could be somebody's grandma from the Midwest on her first vacation to the Big Apple all by herself after her husband kicked the bucket and she got all the insurance money, right? And she, you know, she had to be late 60s, perhaps early 70s, wheeling a suitcase, clean, appropriately dressed, nice winter coat. And so she's saying, excuse me, excuse me. So I turn around, I'm like, all right, this woman doesn't know where she's going. Let me help her. So the first thing she says to me is, do you speak English? Now, that was my first clue, right? That should have been my first clue. But I look at her and I say, yes. And she's like, oh, good. She's like, I am a, words to the effect of, I am an advocate for abused, I don't know, children or something. And I am a lawyer in training. Now, with each word, I'm going, okay, this was a mistake. Right? Okay.
Should have kept walking.
So I'm an advocate for abused children. I'm here on a mission or something, and I'm a lawyer in training. And I lost my wallet and all of my credentials.
Of course.
And my money, my money's locked up in the bank. And I'm just, and so I stop her now. I stop her and I very nicely say, because she looks like somebody's grandmother, I very nicely say, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot help you today. And I turn around and I start walking in the direction I was going. And she said, well, okay. But next time you need a better plastic surgeon. No.
Sing.
That's fired, right? Yes. So I go, oh wow, this little old lady from wherever. And so I turn around and I say to her, I have a couple options. I didn't say to her, I said to myself, I have a couple options here. I could hit her right between the eyes with an equally
I love my plastic surgeon.
Right. I could do that. I could ignore our, so instead I just looked at her very kindly and I said, wow, thank you for that amazing compliment. And I turned on my heels and I went, what now? It wasn't a compliment. It was absolutely intended to be an insult. But when a hater thinks that you took her hate the wrong way, she's going to be hating me even more all day. Perfect. I thought that was perfect. Next time you need a better plastic surgeon. Boom. Is that some crap or what?
That's hysterical.
Let me ask you something. Course is some crap. Your plastic surgeon has well earned all the millions of dollars that you've paid him.
The millions and trillions of dollars.
Exactly.
He's earned every penny. Yes, he has.
Were you sporting a bruised upper lip like you've done before?
No. Guys, it's been a long time. No, I wasn't even, no. There was no bruise. There was no stash. There was no nothing. I am in between appointments.
Wow.
I'm good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Nice try there, old lady.
Never judge a book by its cover. Unless the book is called Miserable You by Rob Letton.
Okay. All right. I'm letting both of you go now. All right. So that's it. Thanks to Rob Letton for joining us today. And for John Spilborn and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, the aforementioned guy with two cats. And we will be back next week right here with more Happy Hour. So please join us again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.